Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and I have been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Go check out my website at theroofercoach.com, see what we got going there. I've got some free downloads, which will really help you take your business to the next level. What's the next level? I'm going to get into that a little bit because everybody says that. What does it mean? But go check out the website. It's got a free download, the one-page business plan. Simple, easy. Got some great stuff. Worth a look. Cruise through it. It'll only take you a few minutes, but it will give you some great ideas on how to get organized in your business. Talks about where are you trying to go, what's your destination, gets into identifying your ideal customer, how you differentiate yourself from your competition, which is the only way that you're going to get a higher price for your work. But we get into the SWOTs, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, always a good thing to do. And the great part, it's going to talk about how you can take a two-week vacation and set your business up that you don't have to be there all the time. And this is one of the biggest problems that I hear from contractors. They just don't have the time. Take a vacation? Are you crazy? My business would fall apart. That is no way to run a business. If you can't drop everything at the last minute, take your family away for a week or two, and be able to manage your business from the beach, you're doing something wrong. So go download this free one-page business plan. It will really help you get organized in your business. It will also subscribe you to it's an email that I send out periodically. I'm not going to fill up your inbox. And if you think it sucks, you just don't subscribe. It's really simple. And this is why email is so important, why you build a list of customers, of prospects, and periodically send them out emails. You don't send out, spammy, salesy stuff. You send out information that's helpful. For instance, it's follow-up Friday, right? What are you doing to follow up with prospects, with customers, whether it's chasing down some of these open quotes you've got, whether it's asking for five-star reviews or referrals? But it's just simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. But here's an email that I sent out this morning. Okay, went out, 6 a.m. By 10 a.m., I had over a dozen responses to this email. And by the end of the day, I'll probably have two dozen. It's so simple, but it's all about follow-up. And that's all I'm doing. I'm following up with my potential clients, coaching clients, my list of existing customers. But this is what it's all about. Get something to build this list. And that's what I do with my one-page business plan. So I get a lot of subscribers that way. It's helpful information. I'm not scamming anybody or, trying to be salesy. But here's what I wrote. Hey, I just wanted to take a minute to check in and see how things are going for you and your business. What questions do you have? What can I help you with? One of the reasons I do what I do is so I can help roofing businesses avoid the mistakes that I made early on in my own roofing business. Once I learned a better way, things started improving. So how can I help you? Reply to this email, ask me a question. I'll either reply to you by email or answer your question in an upcoming podcast episode. Hey, reach out anytime. Thanks, Dave. Simple, easy, no big deal. So I get all these responses. We've got a lot of questions. And I'm just going to touch on a few of these because these are things that really help other contractors. We all share these same problems. And, you're out there all by yourself. You know, it's tough. I did it. You know, it's lonely out there. So reach out. I try to put other contractors together through peer groups so we can really collaborate, see what everybody else is doing, what's working, what's not. We pick up some great ideas. So I'm just going to touch on a couple of things right here, and I'll answer a few. Then we're going to get into our interview today, which is awesome. But I want to talk about a couple of things that are going on, couple of coaching clients calls that I had this week, because those were always really interesting. How those shake out, see if they may apply to your business, and maybe you like some of the answers that I come up with. And here's my first response that I'm sure we can all relate to. It starts off, cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. I just seem to always be in a crunch. My accounts receivables are huge, but between financing jobs and getting funded only at completion, and having to wait for GCs to pay out after 30 days, seem to always be in a cash crunch. Yeah, we're all there, right? Cash is king. We've got to control our cash flow. So here's a few thoughts. Number one, I don't like working for general contractors for exactly this reason. I want to be the prime. I want to have control. But he's been working with generals for a long time, and I can see that this is the model that so many contractors have. Now, first off, you got to look at right now in particular, what's going to happen in the new construction market? Well, I think we can bet that there's not going to be a lot of office building going on after the pandemic, right? You know, there's an oversupply. There's all this sublease space. I don't think that's in the cards. Also, you know, who knows? It's just a tough market. And cash flow being one of them. We talk about this on the show. Another thing is the litigation. We just had Philip Siegel on. We were talking about how we're always getting screwed by general contractors. They're holding all the cards, and they really have us hanging at the mercy. And if we get hung up on, say, one big job, at no fault of our own, they just don't want to pay us. I mean, our hands are really tied. It sucks. But hopefully you've got good relationships with these GCs, because you can negotiate with them. You just have to ask and set up your payments. Be sure you've got all your forms, all your requirements in at the time you're prepared, and get your money and stand up about it. You know, hey, it's owed now. And this is what relationships are all about. But if you're out there just bidding jobs and trying to be the low-cost producer, that is a tough road. So what I recommend, and I'm working with a number of clients to do this, is to move away from working with GCs to go into negotiated, you know, private work, because there's a ton of it out there. And you can always make more money selling jobs as you can by bidding jobs. It's just a different strategy in marketing. What I'm seeing a lot of times is maybe it's a family business. This is what they've always done, so they're comfortable with that. It's kind of scary making that move to get out of that comfort zone, even though you're not making any money, and the future, frankly, doesn't look all that bright to me, is because, and also, there's so much work, good work out there. You know, private work that develops into maintenance programs, service, that's what I like, because it's so goddamn profitable. And you can build your business around that. So what we try to do is move into that area, but it's a totally different mindset and strategy. And this is what I do. I help contractors get the strategy from a business plan standpoint. What's that going to look like? What do we need to do? Let's focus down on our ideal customer. Who is that? How do we get them? How do we sell ourselves, our differentiator that makes us better, and develop this business? And that's it's a different strategy. One, you control your cash flow. You know, I want to get down payments. Here's my schedule of payments, and I want to get paid. And you got to be serious about this, and you got to let your customers know that you're serious about this, because you're not there to finance their projects. you know, it doesn't work that way. So I can get into this. I'm going to reach out to this contractor because I've got a lot to talk about with him. I think I can help him. Another thing is that he's paying cash, you know, out of his cash flow to buy some vehicles. He just bought his building, which is great. But first off, all of this stuff, the way that I do it, the way I recommend, companies should never own a business. This should always be owned by yourself, set up as an LLC. You rent it back to your business. So you've got that separated. It's a great money maker. It's a great tax strategy. Also with trucks, I did the same thing. Equipment, I would have a separate LLC for this equipment and finance it through the LLC. You're writing off the interest payments. You're renting it back to the business. It can really work. Just, you know, takes a strategy to do that. But you're not sucking all your, you know, your cash flow, your working capital. Anyway, that was a great question and something that I know I can help him with. So I'll reach back out to him, you know, have an hour conversation, and here's some tips how you might want to look at it. And here's another great question from a contractor, and this is the area that I get the most requests on, which is why I have so many shows that cover this. And here's his comment. Hi, Dave. One thing we struggle with is getting the phone to ring. Who doesn't have that problem? Operationally, we are good, and I can't seem to get leads from any other platform other than Angie's List. Boo. We don't like Angie's List, do we? Even that has been slow. We just got a new website built, and our Google My Business page is getting some traction too. I'd like to invest some more money into marketing strategy, but I don't know which way to go. It seems Google Ads cost so much, and we don't see much of a return or leads for that matter. Would there be any companies you would recommend to handle some advertising or lead gen for us? It's a great question. And again, I've got some great shows. We've put out some great information. And this is what I do. I vet these companies. These are the guys that I know, that I like, and you know that can be trusted. And they do it right. But one of the shows that we've got when it comes to Google PPC, well, first, let me jump back. The things they're doing right and are the basics. Okay, so first off, they've got a website, all right? Well, does it convert? That's what we've got to look at. So we've got to look at the numbers, how that website is converting, who it's attracting, how is that going to result in attracting qualified leads, the right kind of leads, that turn into appointments, that turn into sales, because that's all that matters. We don't care if it's a pretty website. We want something that works. That's all that matters. So we got to take a look at that. But that's the first thing. Second thing is Google My Business page. And he's doing that. Sounds like that's going well. We've got to look at, see how that's set up, if it's set up for conversion. And there's a lot of things that we can do for that. Obviously, we want to grow on that map page. We want to be at the top. And the way that we do that is by getting reviews, by posting photos of projects we're working on. There's all kinds of things we can do. So I want to get into that. Those are the things that he's doing. We want to make sure that he's asking for reviews, that he's asking for referrals, that he's doing his radius marketing in the neighborhoods, you know, some of these basic things, and they're free. But when it comes to Google Ads, Facebook Ads, it is really complicated. And if you're doing it yourself, you're not going to get the results. You're going to spend a lot of money and you're not going to be happy with it. And that's why I recommend you check out episode number 197. And that is with Mark Levesque, and they run Web Runner Media. Great business, particularly when it comes to PPC. And this episode that I did with him is basically a short class that talks about everything about PPC. So go back and check that out. And then also there's a link to go to talk to Mark. Great guy. Talk to him. And the thing about PPC, though, is that it's expensive, but It's an investment, and you've got to look at that. Are you getting the return? And we really go deep into this in the episode, where it's not about, hey, how much does it cost to get a click or get a lead? It doesn't work like that, okay? And we get into why and how you have to look at it. But hey, if it's producing, you want to do more of it, and you've got to spend money for marketing. But I'm going to reach out to him. We're going to talk about what kind of business he's in, who is his ideal target, what are the demographics of the area. You know, there's a lot to it, but it's a question that all of us have, a lot of us have. Again, I'm done a lot of shows on that, and maybe I'll do a kind of a catalog of all those just to make sure everybody's got it, because we also have a couple good ones on Facebook ads, and that's with Aaron Hockle. I don't have the number offhand, but you can search by that. We talk about Facebook ads a lot and what you can do there, how that works, because it's not easy. You definitely want to have a pro that's handling this. You need to have a strategy. You don't want to go cheap on this, because it is a scammy business, man, I'll tell you. So anyway, hopefully that'll help. I'll get you more information here in the next week when I reach out. And here's a contractor who I'm in touch with all the time. Great guy. Love what he's doing down there. He's in California. But he runs really a service business and does a lot of commercial roof repair and coatings, this type of work. Love it. He's running a great business. So he's switching over to doing the coatings, really focus on that for the summer. Says things are going great. Love to hear it. Really working on the HR, and came up with a employee manual, which we taught, you know, he got from, or probably got from, Philip Siegel. We did a whole episode on why you need to have a good employee manual. He's talking about his safety training. He's got CERTA training for his torch guys. I mean, he is doing all the right stuff. Talking about how he would like to see an episode about HR more, and to handle employee write-ups, injuries, crazy behavior, firings, etc. Like to hear recommendations on a podcast. That's awesome. I'm going to do that. And this is what I like to hear. What do you need to hear about? You know, what are you struggling with? And this is a great topic, because I know a lot of us screw around with that. We kind of cover it on the legal end about how to fire, you know, how to deal with these guys. But I want to reach out to him. He's a great guy, and always enjoy talking to him. These are some of the problems that the contractors that I work with or just subscribe to the list, they talk about. And I think, you know, we can all get something from these, and we all share the same problems. That's why you want to be involved with a group. That's why you want to get involved with coaching. And that's something I can help you with. If you're interested in just doing one-on-one coaching, go to that coaching page, theroofercoach.com. You can click this big button. It will take you to my calendar. Sign up for an hour talk. It'll be a strategy call. And basically, we just talk about your business, and I'll offer you a couple of tips. And generally, we come up with some pretty good ideas, and it gives you a little focus, because I want to know what you're doing, what you're focused on, where's your niche, where are you making your money, where are you not making your money, and just talk about your business a little bit. It really helps contractors get a jump. And if you want to continue coaching, that's great. I have a lot of clients that do, and generally, this is really simple. It's just an hour on Zoom. We talk about various things, try to move you along. We've got action steps. Pretty simple. Most of my clients, we go 2 calls a month. You know, it's a few hundred bucks. It's going to give you a great perspective, a sounding board to bounce off some ideas. I've been there and done it. I did this for 30 years, so I've got some pretty good ideas of what works and what doesn't. So if that's something you're interested in, you know, just get in touch. All right. Well, I've gone way over my time limit, so let's get into our interview. And today, we've got Vicki Suter back, and Vicki is with Suter Business Builders. She is a coach for contractors, consultant, has some great stuff. On episode number 203, we had her on. We were talking about how to hire A players and where to find them. We all complained that, yeah, there's just no good people out there. Well, that's not right. There are good people out there, but you have to know how to recruit them. And this is what we get into in episode number 203. So you want to go back and check that out. But today we've really got an extension of that one. Now we've got our team of A players. Our next problem is, how do we get this team to be accountable, to take responsibility for the tasks and the job description that we have set up for them? Now we've got the people, but we complain that, hey, they just don't take responsibility and really taking ownership of that position. And that's what we get into today. And Vicky's got a free webinar coming up. We're going to really get into that, what that's about. You want to make sure to check this out. You want to sign up for the webinar. It's free. It's great. And make sure that anybody in HR, anybody that's responsible for hiring, building your teams, make sure they're signed up and check out this webinar, because it's great stuff. And as soon as we're finished with the interview, make sure to go down to the show notes. You can sign up, get registered, and you're going to learn a lot about team building. But before we get into our interview with Vicky, I want to thank one of our sponsors, and that is Ruby Receptionists. Ruby does a great job of answering your phone. They do it remotely. They do it professionally with a friendly voice. They can answer the questions that your prospects have. Because if you're rolling these calls over into your voicemail, they're not going to leave a message. They're going to go to the next contractor where they can get a live person, because they want answers to the questions that they've got, and they want them fast. And Ruby leaves a great first impression that tees up that sale, makes you sound like a professional, a larger business. You're not Chuck in a truck. They're going to make you sound professional. They take down the information. They can send it to you on the Ruby app. It's great. So check them out at callruby.com/roofershow. I've got a promo code, $50, roofer50. They'll knock off $50 off your first month's service. Check them out. All right. Well, let's get into our interview with Vicky, where we will learn how to build a team of A players that takes responsibility and makes things happen. Vicky, great to have you on the show again. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Dave. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's great to see you. As I have talked about, I had Dave Lutberger from our mastermind on the other day. We talked about how to value your construction business. And I love talking about our mastermind group, because we've got about 8, 9, 10 professional business consultants that focus on the construction business. And we just had our virtual retreat, which was a little different. Usually we go away for the weekend and have a great time, but we did it virtually the other day. And I just love this group because, well, one, everybody's so smart, and I could just sit back and listen to this and try to absorb all this information, because there's some real pros in it. I love this group.
Yeah, and, me too. I always learn so much. Yeah, I really appreciate that ability to be able to bounce ideas off of each other and get a perspective like other than ours, because as entrepreneurs, a lot of times it's just what rattles between our ears. So it's good to have that feedback. And sometimes really hard, direct, like between the eyes feedback, which is awesome. Yeah, love that.
Well, we have that hot seat that each of us basically sits in for, what do we have, an hour, where everybody grills us on our businesses. And it's fantastic. And I always recommend that every contractor should really be in a mastermind group. We call them peer groups, masterminds, roundtables, whatever it is. But the idea is getting together with non-competing contractors from around the country. And we all share the same problems. And being able to discuss those in a group, and all of it, you realize, hey, I got the same problems. We all face the same problems. We all have the same struggles really every day. And I was always involved with masterminds when I was contracting for 30 years, and it was fantastic. But what we did back then as I talk about, we went to a host city. So we would have to, you know, go to a contractor's, you know, we'd go to their shop, we'd go out to their jobs. And it was just such a huge expense, where now you can do these virtually, and where, you know, we can spend a couple hours together, whatever, once a month is how I'm doing them. Anyway, I just think there's so much to be learned from doing that. And I recommend every contractor be involved with a mastermind. If that's something you guys are interested in, get in touch with me, and I'm putting these together. But Vicki, I know you've had experience in this forever. Don't you think that it's just great getting contractors together, and we learn so much? Don't you think?
I do. I absolutely do. I think that it's that collective mind think almost, that ability to be able to get input and feedback. Where it, just like as entrepreneurs, we so often just do not have that opportunity without having like a board of directors, right? So, I think it's a good way to be able to bounce off ideas, problems, challenges, you know, wins, the celebrations, the defeats, the, you know, all of it, so that you feel. And I think you said something really important, like you kind of go, oh, I'm not alone. Yeah. And that part is very valuable, because otherwise we tend to second guess ourselves a lot. And so sometimes just having that confirmation of, hey, good job, like you're doing that really well, is like, oh, okay. You know, it's just nice to have that to bounce off of. So yeah, I think the world of it. And I have gotten, like I said, tremendous value out of being part of this mastermind group for myself. And I think that it's a great way to be able to have a support network as you're trying to grow your business.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you said about the board of directors. It is like having a board of directors, one, a group that'll hold you accountable, which is something we all need. And just to get that experience from everybody, I think it's just great. So I really enjoyed doing that the other day. Always look forward to those. We get together once a month virtually, all together, and it's great. But Vicki, you have been on this show a few times, sharing your expertise as a business coach. I haven't told you this, but we've got over 5,000 downloads for our conversations. So I know so many people know who you are already, but can you give us a little background on how you got started in this, what you've been doing, what contractors that you help?
Yes, sure. Thanks. Well, I originally got involved working with contractors because I used to be married to a contractor. I was married to a painting contractor for 10 years. And I watched how Bill struggled in growing his business and, you know, the roller coaster of revenue and just some of the challenges he faced. And when I started my own business in 1990, after we had our son, I realized that this was a place where I felt like I could make a contribution. And I had some experience working with contractors. I could see where the challenges were, and I could see how contractors could actually make it easier on themselves in running their businesses. And so I really just from that point on really focused on this industry. And I love working with contractors. And the thing that I say is, first of all, contractors are some of the smartest people I know. And they rarely give themselves credit for being as smart as they are. But truthfully, there's a lot of complexity in this industry and in what contractors do. And part of what I do is, you know, I say that my ultimate goal is to help contractors make more money, have more time in their day, and reclaim the joy and fun in what they do again. And for over 30 years, that's what I've been doing with contractors. And part of my whole approach to it is, if you can see the simplicity in the key things and the key drivers that are really what make you successful as a contractor, then you can have more control over your results. Then you can ultimately have more money in the bottom line, more money in your bank account, more time in your day, and really have more fun in running your business. And so that's really the gist of the promise or the deliverable, if you will, of, you know, of what I've done with contractors over these 25 plus years. I do that. The main focus has to do with teams, and building great teams is a really critical element to building a great business, and teaching people how to manage for results. And again, what are those key things that let you keep your finger on the pulse of the critical elements that drive success and drive profitability in your contracting business?
Well, I love what you said about getting your time back and relearning how to really enjoy your business, because that's a problem that all of us contractors struggle with, is just the amount of time that we have to spend. And a lot of it, unfortunately, can be avoided and take out some of these frustrations. It's just really learning how to run your business more efficiently from someone like yourself. One of these things that we talked about along those lines, and I do see your book in the background there, the Profit Bleed, which I just happen to have a copy of right here because I love it. And you can see where it is actually all marked up. I've gone through this, taken notes. And so that's back on episode number 79. We talked about your book and how we bleed these profits and the ways that we can do to plug these holes, really take a lot of the frustration out, make more money, have more free time because we're not making these screw ups all the time. So tell me how the book sales are going.
You know what? They're going really well, Dave. Thanks for asking and thanks for mentioning the book. It's interesting. My publisher just sent me an email 2 weeks ago and she goes, "What are you doing to sell so many books? Because a lot of my other people, like, they do really well at the beginning, but it's, you know, the book came out in 2018 and I love getting commission checks every quarter." But I think
you and Oprah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not quite, Dave. But I think the thing is that my goal is to really help contractors find the freedom and that they are not tethered to their business all the time, and to feel empowered to understand how to, like, what are those levers. And so I think that, you know, being on the book has done well because it speaks to a deep desire and drive in all of us as entrepreneurs to be able to fulfill the all-American dream, right? Like that thing of, why did I start it? Well, because there's something I really love doing. I want to be able to have choice about how I spend my time. I want to be able to have resources to be able to spend it and enjoy it. And, you know, I have seen that struggle. And it was part of what fueled my desire to want to write the book, because I was like, it doesn't have to be that way. Like I said, I try to make it, like, very accessible for people, and really just, like, what are the key simplest elements that if you just focus on those things consistently, all of the other things will just take care of themselves. And again, I don't mean to make it sound overly simple, but really there are a handful of key drivers for a contractor's success. And if you know how to pay attention to them, you can have more control over them.
And you're so right about that. And this is something we talk about constantly on the show, is keeping it simple. And there are some, whether you call them key performance indicators or whatever, but if you keep an eye on these, really running your business by the numbers, really understanding, it's almost just like the basics of running your business and focusing on those, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you do a great job. This is the Profit Bleed, how managing margin can save your contracting business. Available on Amazon, I assume.
Yes.
And I'll have the link in the show notes, but it's a great book. It's a short read, focuses on just really the important thing. So every contractor, it applies to all of our businesses. Every contractor should get the book and read it. All right. Well, Vicki, today we are going to talk about getting people to follow through and do what they say they'll do. Now, I don't think any of us had necessarily had problems about people not holding up their agreements, taking care of their responsibilities, being accountable for these things. I've never had that. And I know I've never had that problem with my kids or my family or people that I've dealt with. They always do as I say.
So, yeah, everybody does everything that they say they're going to do, right?
That's not right. That. Yeah. But you're saying there's a way to keep people accountable, have them stay with these agreements and really do what they're talking about. And I know that you've got a webinar coming up, and that's April 15th and April 16th. Again, this will be in the show notes, but this is what you're going to take up, and it's getting teams to take more ownership. And that's really what it's all about, is getting them to take ownership. So you've got this webinar coming up. You always have a great show, and I recommend everybody check this out. But Vicki, let's talk about that. What are some of the things that people can do? Well, first, let's talk about what's up with that. I mean, how come we can't get people to just follow up with doing what we agree that they're going to say? And what happens then is we tend to micromanage them. And it just is a time suck for us. And this is one of the things that we're talking about, is how do you get that time back? And if people could only do what they say they'll do, whether it's people in your business, in your company, or maybe it's your subcontractors, or as I say, maybe it's our kids. What's up with that? Why do we struggle with this so much?
Well, one of the key things, Dave, is that I think a lot of times what happens is that we operate from expectations versus agreements. And so let me just make the distinction about what those two things are. So an expectation is that I pay you a certain amount of money to do a job, and I just expect you to do your job. So when I tell you to do something, I just expect it's going to get done. I mean, we've all seen people, heard those words fall out of people's mouths. We've heard ourselves say those things. Well, I just expect that. And here's the interesting thing about us as human beings and expectations, is that we don't like it when people expect things of us. We don't like, there's this, it, when you think about it, and when you think about when somebody says, well, you didn't do something, and they go, well, I just expected you to do that. I expected that you knew that I needed that when I told you I got a meeting next Tuesday. I expected when we said there was that inspection on Thursday that you were going to get everything ready for that inspection. The problem is that twofold. One, we don't like when people, like, we don't like it when people say that to us, right? Regardless of the fact that we got paid or not. But two, there's such ambiguity in it that when I say I expected you to, that I have in my head, what does that look like that you got ready for that inspection on Thursday? And what does that employee or that subcontractor, what's their interpretation of that they're ready for that inspection? And so the whole thing of expectation is that there's a lack of clarity, and there's a lack of really buy-in that happens at that point in time. And there's a lack of specificity about what does that mean that I'm making, that I'm supposed to have something done. Now, on the other hand, when we talk about agreements, agreement is something where I literally have an agreement with somebody else in order to deliver on a specific result. And like, if you think about the mob, I always love this example. Like, if you think about, like, you know, gangsters from like the Godfather movies, like when they make agreements, they take their agreements very seriously. And it is our nature as human beings that when we actually make an agreement with somebody, that we're going to be more likely to actually follow through and do what we say we are going to do. It's so, if you can think about, first of all, that there's the distinction of, am I operating from expectation or am I operating from agreement? And then let's talk about what's the way to operate from agreement with each other in such a way that you can get the results that you want. So one of the things I say is, you want to make your agreement SMART agreements. SMART is an acronym, and there's probably a lot of people listening to this who have maybe even heard that acronym before. So SMART agreements are that they are specific and they are measurable. There's clear accountability, they're realistic, and they're time-driven. If I look at each of those, SMART agreements, specific meaning, if I have in my head, in using that example of the inspection that's happening on Thursday. So I expect that you're going to be ready for that inspection. Well, what does ready mean? Right? So am I being specific about that this and this and this need to be done before the inspector shows up on Thursday, right? So that we're both clear about what is the actual result in the deliverable, as opposed to assuming and expecting, well, you've been on your job for, 3 years, you should know this.
Right.
Well, that's all good and fine, right? But if somebody doesn't actually, like, their map of reality isn't yours, then you need to be specific. So that's S. M, measurable, meaning if you can't measure it, it can't be managed. We've probably all heard that expression, right? So what's the measurable? Well, by Wednesday, end of the day, you're going to have given me, some photos of maybe it's the, roof, whatever that, I don't know all the steps of roofing, Dave, but like whatever, there's certain inspections that have to happen. Like there's photos that measure, and let me know that those are actually done. Or maybe a measurable is that, I've got some checklist that I've filled out or something, right? It can actually be measured. A for accountability. Clear accountability. If I'm talking to a team of three people and I'm going, you guys need to get that done, who's the guy that's going to make sure it got done?
Right.
It can't be like, the whole thing of management by, collective agreement. There's got to be somebody who's accountable. There's got to be one person who goes, I'm going to make sure that I've checked that checklist, or I've gotten those photos, or I've, that I know that those results have happened. And then the fourth one, realistic. Realistic is if I know that there's no way that we can be ready for that inspector on Thursday, I'm going to do some check-in with my team, right? As much as I want to make sure, I want the inspection to happen on Thursday. Have I actually checked with my team and said, is that realistic? Can you do that? Or do you have other things, making sure that we're not accepting a response? Because one of the things we have to understand as leaders and managers is that people want to be a yes to us. People always want to say yes to us. And sometimes people make what I call jerky promises, right? It's not that they want to be deceiving. They want to be a yes, but they haven't actually looked up and asked the question, can I be a yes? Like, is that possible for me to do? So one of the things that it requires, especially at this stage, is asking some more questions. Is that realistic? Can that actually happen? How are you going to get that done by Thursday or by the end of the day on Wednesday? Asking some more clarifying questions to make sure that A, that person's really clear about the specifics and what will measure and what constitutes the criteria for success for that. But also, is it realistic? Like, how are you going to get it done? And one of the things that I think is really great about asking that question so that you get a realistic answer when we're making an agreement with somebody, we're asking somebody to do something, is that we're making them think through the process of, well, how are they going to get it done? And where can that fit in? And are they going to need other resources in order to have that happen? They might say, well, I can't get it done by Wednesday. And then the response might be, well, how could you? If we added more people, would that help? Or if such and so came and worked with you, could that help? If not, then you need to adjust as much as, part of the whole thing about getting agreement with people and part of the whole thing of getting people to follow through and do what they say they're going to do means that you also have to be willing to pause and slow down a little bit in order to actually hear whether or not that person can fulfill on that agreement. Because remember what I said, people want to be a yes to us. Right. But if we, if we don't actually spend a little bit more time sometimes, then we will be disappointed. Or we just go, well, of course that should happen. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's specific, measurable, accountability, realistic, and time-driven. So time-driven is really critical. We a lot of times we'll say to somebody, hey, would you get that done? Right. And there's no time frame with it. Well, the thing is that I don't know about you, Dave, but I know for me, if I don't have a time on it, then it becomes this lingering thing out there right. that I like, oh, like, it, you know, I'll get to it. Right. We all have our get to it list. Mm-hmm. But if I have a time commitment, now I'm going to manage what I do around that time. So time is really a critical element to getting people to keep agreements, that it be time driven. And what I have found is that when you apply that SMART acronym in those relationships and in those conversations that you're having with people, when you're in a meeting and, you know, people walk away with, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, or you're having a conversation with your spouse and says, you know, yeah, I'm going to get that trash thrown out. A simple question of, well, so when will you be able to have that done? Right. Or sometimes I'll say to people, this isn't a pressure question. Right. Because we don't like that question very much. But it's like, just to say, this isn't a pressure question. I just want to make sure that I'm managing my expectation. I don't have an unrealistic expectation, or I'm not assuming something here that's not really true. That it's that way of kind of getting through the discomfort of having to say by when. But it's a really key element to managing our agreements with each other. And it's a really key element to getting people to follow through and do what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it.
You've got so many great nuggets in this thing that I want to get into, because I can just really relate to what you're talking about. This is the advantage of having a business coach, somebody to help you, because what I think happens is business people, contractors, they're starting off with going, I'll do it myself. And they end up doing so much of this without the five things that you're talking about, because they just, and they continue to do this, where you're never going to build a business that has any kind of structure that gets you out of that day-to-day, that gets you that time back. If you take that attitude, and so many contractors, they just go through their entire career with that mindset. And this is where the frustration comes, where if you use the tools that you're talking about, this is how you build it. Now, what we do, you know, I always talk about business planning and how important this is. Now, what we'll do is, let's identify some of the goals that we have. For instance, I talk about building a maintenance department in your roofing business. So what you would do is, here are the steps that are involved. I always break these down. These are the steps. Now, who's going to do this? As you say, being specific, okay? You know, Joe's going to take care of this and you're going to do this. Okay. And the time accountability is critical, where you say, we're going to have this done, and maybe it's in phases. We're going to have this task taken care of, and Joe, you're going to come back and explain it to us on this date, and we're going to continue to press on. But as you say, without that completion date, without that accountability, things aren't going to happen. It's going to be, yeah, when I get around to it, he's just, you know, and it's going to be all those, the constant fires that you're putting out as a contractor in that day to day. And the reason you're into that, you know, wearing all the hats, putting out all the fires, is because we aren't taking these actions that you're talking about in those five steps. I think those are great.
Yeah. And it's interesting listening to you, because I also go, you know, if you think about it like running a construction project, that if you sort of apply those same principles of, you're clear about what the result is that you're getting to, right? That you usually, like, ideally, you have a schedule, you have some time frame attached to it. You know who the team is and who's accountable for making sure that that project comes in on time, on budget, as promised. Like, so some of those, if you look at those same principles, and that it's measurable, and that you're not saying, I'm going to re-roof an entire condominium complex in 2 days, right? That there's a reality check on it, and that it's specific about what are we doing and what are we not doing, right? Those same principles of how you would approach running a well-run construction project are the same principles that if you apply those in your conversations with people at a micro level, you'll actually get a lot more done. And, you know, and I just listening to you, and I think about, if you're somebody listening to this, you might be thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, that could take so long. And for a while, until you build this into your communication and your culture, you're right, it's going to take you a little bit longer to have those conversations. But the question that you want to ask yourself, just like a project that's not well planned out at the front end, how much longer does that project take at the back end when you're having to do triage and you're having a project that goes on and on and on? So like planning at the front end and spending the time at the front end to have that conversation in a way that you've made smart agreements with people actually will save you tons of time at the back end, and you'll get a more consistent result from your team. And, you know, it just, it's a practice. Just like good project management doesn't show up one day like, oh, I know how to do this. I've had to practice. I've made mistakes. I've had to learn. That's how you, but it's a, if you practice that, just like with projects, you'll find that ultimately you spend far less time having to do triage at the back end.
Exactly. And a real world example that I could use in my business is the pre-construction meeting. And too many contractors just blow this off. Now, I talk about an experience that I had when I was starting off. We used to do it, you know, okay, well, here we'll write up a little job sheet, go do the job. Well, we were doing that. Everything was going great until I got a call from it was the neighbor of the project that we were doing, and say, hey, you guys are over here tearing my roof off. You're supposed to be doing the neighbor's house down there. I mean, crazy stuff like that. Yeah. And this actually happened. So I learned from that after giving away that free roof. And we developed this process over time. And exactly what you're saying is these things don't happen overnight, but they have to be continually kind of tweaked. And I always talk about that. We come up with our checklists, which are just our, what we talk about, processes, from generally the screw-ups that we've made over the years and so forth. So we had a very detailed process when it came to doing pre-construction meetings. And this is something that just saved us so much time. As you say, if you do a little work on the front end, you're going to save it on the back end. And also something that was so profitable for us, something that you would see, hey, I don't have the time to do this, to take everybody out there and go over this job and so forth. You know, they should know what they're doing. They should be able to handle this. They've been roofing for, you know, 20 years, they know what their job is, right? Yeah.
And that whole, like, they should.
Right.
It's the same as I expect you to. Mm-hmm. The thing you got to ask yourself is, are you getting the results that you want or not? And if you're not, then you got to ask yourself, what's the set of practices I have for setting up the job? And do I have a pre-construction agreement that, you know, a pre-construction checklist that we go through to stack the odds in our favor, right? In the webinar that you had referenced, I actually share with people like a similar kind of checklist for managing agreements with people. That's just like that. Because if you have a system, right? If you have a structure, then you're more likely to have a way of creating a more consistent result.
You know, we talked about that people really, I believe, want to do the right thing. They want to achieve these goals. They want to please, as you say. But it comes down to communication, where so many times, okay, go out and do this job, and they come back and it didn't happen. Well, most contractors would say, you just can't hire good help. You can't find anybody that takes responsibility. And you've got to step back and say, you know, I probably didn't explain that right the first time or the second time or the third time. And that's really comes back on you. It's not your people necessarily, but it's in your communication skills. And this is what has to be developed. And this is something that, you know, you talk about, I know, in the webinar. But when we came and did this pre-construction meeting, what we would do is, the idea was, we're all going to take this as a team. We're going to identify our goals, and we're going to all agree on them, and we're going to be held accountable. And what I mean by that is, generally what I see my contractors doing is that they say, here's the job, go out and do it. And then if they lose money on it, they chew the guy out. And we're, maybe he didn't understand it. There wasn't a meeting of the minds to begin with. And what we do, particularly when we talk about the handoff from sales to production, is where many of these screw ups occur. Mm-hmm. And so we'll go out there, sales, production, and then our superintendent, which I call, you know, the referee, because generally your salespeople tend to be a little aggressive, and maybe your production doesn't want to over promise. But before you start that job, you've got to have an agreement. And so we either have,
that's critical, right?
Right. Otherwise, and if you say, this is what you should do it on, you know, do it in, we've got 50 man days to complete this project, and this is what you've got. And they're looking at this thing and going, you know, you're dreaming. And this is why you've got to have that agreement beforehand. By building that team, the idea is that we're all trying to accomplish this goal. It says, man, that's going to be tough, but I've got some ideas that we can do to shave off some time. And this is the idea of the collaboration. You're starting that job off with agreement. At the end of the job, when we do our job costing, which I talk about all the time, job cost your jobs, do that postmortem. And that's the accountability. Hey, we agreed on 50 days. Why didn't this happen? Well, I ran into this problem or this or that. And that's how we self-correct. That accountability is so important. But before that, you've got to have the agreement and that communication where we're all going in the same direction. So I love what you're talking about, those five steps. It really covers the whole deal. By doing that, as you say, this eliminates the frustration, and as we're talking about, the profit bleed, all those leaks that we have where profits are just falling through the cracks, it's coming from miscommunication and holding people accountable for that.
One of the greatest gifts that we have as leaders is our willingness to take responsibility, which is what I hear you talking about, Dave, which is, a lot of times we think responsibility means shame, blame, fault, and it doesn't. What responsibility means is the ability to respond. So when I have a breakdown that shows up, the question that I always am interested in asking is, what's the source of the breakdown? Because those breakdowns, that breakdown of that job not finishing on time didn't happen at the end of the job. It happened somewhere way upstream. And in your example is the job handoff meeting. A, did it happen? B, did I get agreement with the super on the job that they were actually going to deliver it the way that they said they were? Like, how can I start to get more? What's missing upstream, and what's the source of that problem that I can then avoid that problem happening, you know, at the end of the job or as the job's going along? And the more I can take responsibility in that way to think about it, like, how can I respond in a way that I do something different at the front end to cause a different result at the back end? That's the power of the ability to be able to have more control over the results we get in our businesses and the amount of hours that we work and the amount of, you know, just our rate of return, right? So that is really key. So I appreciate your saying that. That's that whole thing of, am I taking responsibility for it?
And if we go back to the beginning where you started with identifying what the problem was, is that the frustration that we have that our teams, our people are not taking responsibility and we are frustrated. So that's where we started with. That's the problem. This is why we're working so many hours. And this is why so many contractors say, there's just no good people out there. We can't find anybody. So we end up saying, hey, you're not good enough to do the job. Where no, it's that you haven't learned the communication skills to really make this happen. And we're going to run far more profitably if we do these things. Yeah. Everybody's on the same page. Yeah. We're all going in the same direction. And that's what your webinar is all about. And these are teachable skills that our contractors can learn. And you can take out that frustration. That's the biggest complaint that I get is I'm working my tail off. I'm just struggling because I'm putting out these fires.
Right.
And, you know, this is coming on that back end from not doing the proper planning and the accountability. So tell us a little more about the webinar and why our contractors should check this out, why they should sign up and go to this class and learn some of these skills.
Yeah, well, Dave, there's three key things that I share about in that webinar. And one of them is like, what is the missing element that has people not take ownership in their jobs? And I hear this complaint all the time from contractors. My team doesn't take ownership. They act more like helpers than owners of the results. And a lot of times, like you said, a lot of times people think, oh, I just didn't hire the right person, or that it's that people don't care or they're lazy. And I say, that's actually, sometimes that's absolutely true. But more often than not, what's missing is a real clarity about what is the thing that the person is taking ownership of, and how do you actually tap into people's fundamental desire to want to make a contribution, to have a sense of belonging and mattering in their job, because it is way beyond, and lots of studies have been done about this, right? Way beyond what we pay people in a salary is what motivates them and what inspires them in their job. And so how do you tap into the rest of that without being kumbaya every morning? That's not really what motivates people. How do you tap into people's greatest desire to want to make a contribution, to have a sense of belonging, mattering, to own a result with you? And in the webinar, I talk about how do you tap into that with your employees? What's a very simple thing that you can do starting right now to start to affect that change with your team and start to shift the ownership of results from you to them, and let them actually have that sense of belonging and mattering? And then how do you get teams to follow up and do what they say they're going to do? And so we kind of expand a bit more on what we talked about here today and what are some systems for being able to do that.
Well, you're a real pro when it comes to team building. And we talked about this in previous podcast episodes where it's, how do you build those teams of A players. We talked about how to find them and how to develop them. They're out there, and you can't take this attitude where there's no good people out there, because that's not true. But you have to develop them. But you can't develop them until you learn these skills yourself. And that's what this webinar is all about. And I love what you do. I've obviously attended a number of them before. But give us some information on how our contractors can sign up for the webinar, when it is. Give us some information. I will have this in the show notes, of course. But do you want to go through that, or you want me to cover it? I've got it right here.
So it's April 15th and 16th. Mm-hmm. And if people go to suiterbusinessbuilders.com/theroofershow, and I'll spell that for you. It's S-U-I-T-E-R. And then businessbuilders with an S.com/roofershow. Then that'll bring you to a link for the webinar, and you can sign up for either one of those days. You can sign up for both of them if you want. but in the webinar, and the thing that I would just add about the webinar is that, just like my approach to all the work that I do with contractors, is I believe that if you have a few key sets of practices that you do consistently, you will get more consistent results and you will increase your profitability and you'll build stronger teams in the process. And that's what the webinar touches on, like a few key things that you can do that are just practices that when you do it and you do it consistently, you will find that you get a better result and people take more ownership in their job. And I'm going to give you in the webinar, I'll give you a couple of resources that you can download that will send you after the webinar. If you register, that will help you implement what it is the webinar teaches you.
Well, I love it. Everybody sign up for the webinar. Check
the webinar is for free, by the way. There's no charge for it.
Right. And that's a one day. It's either or, right? It's not a 2 day deal.
No, it's 1 hour long. So okay. It's 60 minutes, either April 15th or 16th, and it's for free. And so is the download. I'll send you the free resources at the end of the webinar.
That's awesome. Everybody pick up the book, The Profit Bleed. And Vicki, always a pleasure to talk with you. I think we'll see you here in a couple of weeks on our virtual mastermind. I'm going to check out the webinar. Everybody else, take a look at that. It's going to be great. And Vicki, as always, thanks so much for coming on and sharing this with us.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me as a guest. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's it for the show today. That is some great stuff from Vicki. Always enjoy having her on. But be sure to keep these questions coming. Really love hearing from everybody. Drop me an email or even easier, send me a text at 510-612-1450. Reach out to me. I can answer these real quickly or we can jump on a call and go through some of these questions in depth. And that's what I love doing. So be sure to do that. And next week, got another great show. So be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss anything. Always appreciate any iTunes reviews. Really helps get the show out. So if you got a minute, you can go down to the show notes, click on the button. It's really simple. It'll just take you a few minutes, but I really appreciate it. And again, thank you so much for listening to the show. We'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.